We are Cisco, where we're putting the spotlight on shared perspectives, dialogue, and culture.
So you have colorful hair? Don't care. Tattoos?
Show off your ink. Got a unique style? That's cool. Are you a pop culture geek?
Many of us are. So we invite you to join in on real discussions with real stories.
And learn what it really means to be a Cisconian.
Welcome to the conversation.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the We Are Cisco podcast. You have myself, Madison, and...
And Javier back as always with a really exciting episode today, right?
Yes, we are so excited to have two very wise guests with us to talk about this really cool program we have at Cisco underneath our Connected Black Professionals inclusive community. There was a CBP reverse mentoring program. So with that, I would love to have our guests introduce themselves and get right into our conversation. With that, I'll hand it over to you, Janine and Mark.
Thanks, Madison. So my name is Janine Felder, and I am currently the co-president for Connected Black Professionals. Right now at Cisco, I'm in the People and Communities Organization. I lead a team called Emerging Talent Recruiting. And so we are responsible for early and career hiring for the company. And I'm glad to be here today.
And I'm Mark Chandler. I'm Cisco's Chief Legal Officer. I've been in the role for almost 20 years now. And I joined Cisco involuntarily, you might say, in that I was General Counsel of Stratacom, which we acquired in 1996, and that's how I joined Cisco. I got involved in this program because Janine reached out and suggested that I might be her mentee, and that was a great idea.
Amazing. I love it. And I will say, I'm sure Janine was an amazing mentee. I'm not just saying that because she was my leader, of course, but two awesome, fabulous guests. So let's jump right into it. So talking about the reverse mentoring program with the Connected Black Professionals Inclusive Community, let's just talk about what is it, how did it come to be, and how did y'all connect initially?
Great question, Javier. So this really came to be about the latter part of 2018 after I attended a conference in DC, and it was the Executive Leadership Council Mid-Level Manager Symposium. And that conference was really an inspiration to look at how we can create a regular cadence of development for Black professionals at Cisco. And so when I sat down and started looking at some of the things that we could do to supplement our talent development efforts here, one of the things that really stood out to me is while we're pushing conscious leadership at the company, there's an opportunity to facilitate a connection between leaders and underrepresented minorities, and in this particular case, focusing on the Black employees, as a way of accelerating our efforts towards creating an inclusive organization. And so really that conference was the inspiration behind creating this program, which we call LIFT, which is Learning Intentionally for Transformation. So the idea started in late 2018, and then we actually kicked it off in 2019.
And for me, and I'm the mentee here, and Janine is the mentor.
I'm sorry.
I got involved because Janine reached out to me. The only thing I'd say is that I think calling it reverse mentoring program gives too much credit to traditional corporate hierarchy in terms of how we really need to learn from each other in the company. So I view it as a mentoring program where Janine had knowledge and experience and a lot to impart to me, and I was the mentee who was learning the whole way. I'm not sure she was ready for me to be open to that, and it might have been a little scary at first, but as soon as Janine talked to me about it, I thought it was a tremendous opportunity for me to get insight and learn in a way that I hadn't before.
And I think that call out, Mark, is really interesting because when you think of mentorship, it's typically an older, younger, you know, maybe somebody who's more seasoned with an early career professional. So kind of flipping that on its side or its head really creates a space, I think, where there's a lot of vulnerability, which you kind of mentioned. Janine, what was that like? I know a lot of times conversations can be tricky in this space. So how did the two of you create, I guess you could say, a safe space or an open space to learn from one another?
You know, I agree with Mark. It is a mentoring program. And the reason why we called it reverse is because it's more senior leaders that are being mentored by professionals that are not quite as experienced or at the same level as our executive leadership team. But he is right. It really is just a mentoring program. And, you know, what we wanted to do is create a safe space where we could really break down barriers and really improve cultural competency and grow perspective of our leaders. What that required, though, is that you get to know each other as people, right? So that's where the mentoring comes in that Mark talked about. At the end of the day, it wasn't about the titles and it wasn't about the position. It was just about one person getting to know another person and taking the risk of being vulnerable and open with their personal and professional lives with someone that they didn't know. And that's what Mark and I did. So it was interesting. I will tell you that the very first time we met, Mark was showing pictures of his family and we were talking about his mother and his children and he's a grandfather. And he was so open. He was really a perfect example of what a leader needed to do in this case, which was to be open, to be vulnerable, to be transparent, and therefore creating a more comfortable environment to get to know each other, because we knew that the conversations would be coming later in the relationship that are often uncomfortable when you're talking about race.
I'd add to that and say, I think your question about safe space was absolutely the right one, because I can imagine that being in Janine's shoes, you say, well, you know, this person's at a senior place in the company, he can just whisper one thing to my boss's boss, and then, you know, am I sort of toast career-wise? I mean, we all worry about that, about what our bosses think of us and what people are talking about. And that's true at every level of the organization, even if it doesn't seem that way sometimes. But the flip side was equally true. You know, I think everyone has heard ELT members at various points in the last year say that, you know, hey, if I say the wrong thing, I'm trying really hard. So please don't blame me if I say the wrong thing and so on. And I think for me, I needed to also feel that it was a safe space where I could share perceptions and experiences and so on without them being interpreted in a way that then became a basis for blame. And by being really open in our initial conversations as well, Janine made it possible for us to have that kind of conversation and relationship that really allowed us to, or me as the mentee, to grow. And that was really important for it to be successful.
It's interesting, like you said, you're finding this common ground and this space worked really well for the two of you. Do you happen to know if there, well, I don't know if this might have been shared or not, but how many other individuals or partnerships were a part of this program? I assume it wasn't just the two of you, but this was taking place across the company.
Yeah, so it wasn't just the two of us. This was a pilot when Mark and I participated, and we had 20 pairs. So there were 40 people in total. I happened to be on the planning team for this as well, but I also wanted to experience it as a pilot so that we could build improvements into the next cohort. So again, the part of getting to know each other and kind of tearing down walls to create that safe space was very intentional by the program team. And we wanted that first session to be just about getting to know each other. And so the other pairs also followed the same kind of script where before we got into any topics of discussion, we just got to know each other as people to help build the relationship.
Gotcha. So it was very structured. So you weren't just kind of left to, you know, here's your person, do your thing. You had some kind of prompts to lead that important conversation or at least start maybe some of those uncomfortable conversations so you could really get into it and benefit from the program together.
It wasn't entirely structured. It was loose structure is what I'll say. It was structured enough to get everybody on the same level. But then we wanted to create it open enough to allow for the dialogue to be meaningful to the mentor and the mentee, because everyone's goals and where everyone is in their journey is different. And so we wanted the relationships to happen organically and for there to be an opportunity to not be overly prescriptive, but to have the experience be customized to where people are.
And from your experience together, what might have been maybe some of the biggest lessons or, you know, benefits of having these conversations? Were there any key moments that either of you walked away from the partnership? It sounds like that partnership may have, you know, blossomed into a friendship continuously if it's not a mentorship still. But were there any kind of big takeaways from the program for either of you?
Well, my takeaway was how hard these conversations are, not because Janine and I had hard conversations, but because the biggest learning that I got was to move from a place of feeling that the right way to approach racial issues was to be race blind and say, we're not taking race into account. We're not, and that that's racism when you do that, to a situation where you recognize that race is so deeply embedded in a lot of the thinking in the United States anyway, that you have to confront it directly and you have to be conscious about it. And that consciousness then allows you to be actively anti-racist as opposed to thinking that you are not taking race into account when it's just part of the program of being raised in this country. And we only got there in these conversations for me because Janine was open to let me explore what not taking race into account truly meant and to pick that apart a little bit to get to the point of understanding why that wasn't something that can work. But to get there, we had to be incredibly open with each other and accepting. And I felt Janine was always accepting of me exploring those thoughts and sharing where I came from on it and being able to grow as a result. So that was my biggest takeaway. And the corollary to that is to never assume that this is an easy conversation for people. Recognize the defensiveness and concerns that people may come to you with if they are Black because of the experience that people have in this country. And it just changed for me the way all my relationships in this space work and changed it for the better. Did I surprise you with that, Janine? if I said something wrong, I didn't mean it.
Mark, I'm just smiling over here. You got me speechless, and that's hard to do.
I think he's got everyone speechless. I mean, I love that about this program. It really reflects on proximity and sharing those lived experiences, right? To develop that empathy muscle, to develop understanding.
Today's podcast is brought to you by the Krakow Software Engineering Hub. In Krakow and all over the globe, Cisconians are proud to be awarded World's Best Workplace for 2020.
For those that are listening, you know, that are leaders themselves, how can being reverse mentored make someone a better leader, both either as a mentee or a mentor in this sort of situation?
Well, I'll start with that one, and then Mark can follow. So I think what's really important here is to be a better leader is really a shift from leading from the head to leading from the heart. And you had mentioned empathy, Javier, and that's really when you have a heart connection with someone or an experience that generates an emotional connection to a someone or a people group. And so when you can shift from leading from the head, particularly when it comes to inclusion, which is what this program is really about, to really leading from the heart and leading with empathy, that in and of itself makes you a better leader because it allows you to really recognize where people are, is putting yourself in the shoes of someone else. The other thing I think that reverse mentoring can help is really harnessing the power of being vulnerable. You know, you're not going to get but so far unless you're willing to let your guard down and be vulnerable. And when you are at that point where you can be vulnerable, then I think there's so much learning and growth that happens. And so in order for reverse mentoring to work, you have to be that. And both parties, both the mentor and the mentee, have to actively cultivate that environment because it's so easy to kind of recoil to kind of our normal posture of professionals at work. This is a little bit like being a fish out of water in a sense. And so if you can stick with it and be vulnerable, there's power there.
I think you nailed it from my standpoint of what I got out of this program, Jimmy.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing about also being in the mentee space too, is developing that listening, right? Developing that connection early on and how you can replicate that for other teams or kind of multiply this effect, right? Across a company to develop an environment where people can feel they can bring their whole selves to work and have authentic conversations. And this is something I tell all the students and candidates I work with is, you know, if you're going to spend a lot of time at work and developing relationships, you want to feel comfortable and authentic, because that develops meaningful relationships and develops more productivity. You're more, in terms of mental health, you're much more happy and enriched in the work that you're doing. So I love hearing all of that. That was amazing.
Javier, if I could add one thing there, one of the things that we share with the mentors and mentees earlier on when it comes to inclusion and that feeling that you're talking about, you know, sometimes I think we stop at the point of knowledge, like knowing that this is an inclusive organization, knowing what we stand for, but knowing what we stand for and having it on paper and having leaders say this is what we stand for and is different than how you feel. And so the power of a reverse mentoring program is to move from knowledge to feeling. Knowing you loved and feeling you are loved are two different things. So knowing that your leader wants to be an inclusive leader and create that environment where everyone feels like they belong and are accepted and respected is one thing to know it. It's another thing to feel that. And so I think that the importance here is how can we shift in corporate America from, you know, in general, our statements and our great intentions to the people that we're leading actually feeling the result of those statements and the intentions.
Yeah, as a manager, it also, or a leader, it also liberates you in some ways to run your organization in a more open and fair way. Based on people's experience, there are so many different ways that people are damaged in this society right now. One of the interesting outcomes of the George Floyd catastrophe, and that postdated our mentoring, sort of came in the middle of it, but we'd already went way down this road when that happened, has been an openness of people to talking about what their own experiences with police have been. For instance, on my own staff, there were huge outpouring of stories that, as a white guy, I never could have imagined would have been true in terms of how people were treated just day to day. That opening up, that freedom to speak, allowed also on the other side, and this relates to the mentoring, because I then had a perspective because of the mentoring program to be open to what people are describing as their lived experiences. And from that, I can then, in managing the department, win the trust of people so that I can reward and promote when people are doing a good job and everyone will feel that's credible and the right thing and not being done for some motivation to satisfy some, you know, political correctness. And the flip side is that when there's an issue to address, I can address it and feel that it is heard in a way that was being delivered fairly and wasn't because there was some subliminal racial motivation. Once you get everything out on the table and you're able to have an environment where people are sharing their experiences, and I think in my department we did a great job of allowing people that space to be open last year, you have a much, much healthier organization for everybody in the organization. And I don't think I could have gotten there without the conversations that we had, Janine.
You know, I appreciate you saying that, Mark. And I have to say, I think that Mark was exemplary as a leader. This, you know, would not have been successful if Mark had not been engaged. I mean, there was a level of engagement and commitment. He made this a priority and he showed up that way every single time. And I also really applaud Mark for the humility, right? The humility of sitting and listening and being open to learning, as well as sharing, I think was huge. And I have so much respect for you as a result of that. And it was a lesson for me. It was a leadership lesson for me, observing how you engaged in this process.
I just say it's a sad thing when humility is a compliment. You hope that people have that just as a general attribute, right? there's so much we don't know and so much we don't control. And so much that happens for reasons that are beyond our ken. I think the call out is for folks who don't get that, not for those who do.
Well, I know this experience that you two have shared is, I don't want to say it's unique to you. I feel like at Cisco, we definitely have, if not are trying to foster a culture of inclusion, a space where you can feel that you can have these conversations authentically and learn and, you know, as Javier was saying, feel comfortable to be in your space. As we're kind of wrapping up our episode and coming up on our time here, you've left so many wonderful nuggets of wisdom along the way, but I'm curious if either of you have any final piece of advice or wisdom to leave our listeners as we kind of wrap our conversation today?
Okay, so I guess I'll go first, and we'll end with the wise words of Mark Chandler.
I should have gone first. You're the mentor here.
No. We'll end with you. What I will say, I guess, just some words of wisdom is to stay curious and stay open. That's really what I would advise anyone in this situation, whether you want to go through a formal kind of program like this, or you want to do it on your own, where you just reach out and connect to someone. We use the word proximity a lot here at Cisco, and we have several initiatives. But really, in order to, for both mentor and mentee to get the benefit, is to stay curious and stay open. Recognize that your lived experience is just that. It's just yours. There are others that are out there, and you can grow and learn by broadening your perspective by staying open and curious.
And I'd say two things. First, for anyone who ever has the chance to participate in a program like this, take advantage of it. It had an amazing impact on me and my thinking that'll serve me for the rest of my life at Cisco and beyond. And second, is to be open to the relationships that come out of it, because I certainly feel that I can call on Janine and ask her questions about situations I'm in and things I'm experiencing and continue to learn from that. And Janine, I hope you know you can always call on me for anything as well, in any way that I can help you, because we have built that kind of communication where that openness is what allows for growth. So I'm very, very grateful.
Well, thank you so much again for joining us today and sharing your experience about the program. We hope our listeners picked up a few tips on how maybe we can better learn from each other. I think both of your perspectives will definitely resonate with our listeners. For those of you inside of Cisco, be sure to keep an eye out on the Connected Black Professionals Inclusive Community. Obviously, with a pair like Janine and Mark, this has been a very successful program. Thank you again, Javier.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Madison.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the We Are Cisco podcast with Javier Tirado Montero and Madison Setness. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen and leave a like if you enjoyed today's session.
You can keep up with us by following We Are Cisco on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and Cisco on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening.